Hey, it's Todd Herman. You're listening to the best of what we've decided we think makes up the best of the Todd Herman Show. I hope you're having a blessed Thanksgiving.
Live and local on AM 770 KTTH, your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to the Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful for people who are willing to stand for truth and principles, even when it makes them extremely unpopular, even when standing up against all the cool kids, all the smart people, all the experts, people who do not give in to worshiping scientism, instead prefer the process of scientific discovery rather than scientism. And worst of all, people who fall into giving in to appeals to authority. So important that we look at this. And I've been this morning, I don't feel like I've hit it exactly the way I want to hit this, exactly the way I want to explain this. So I'm going to just forget everything else. Sorry, Alex, about the sound clips you put together for this segment. I need to drill down on these dynamics. Let's start with this. The comparison I'm making between what I see in vote fraud and what I see in testing fraud has me more and more convinced that in a year of frauds, this is another fraud. And I'll tell you why. You just go back 4 years. I'll do a quick tour because everybody in my audience remembers the Russia fraud, the lies to the FISA court. Sidney Powell stepped in to say they're lying. They lied about my client, General Flynn. She stepped in and she won a bunch of rounds. And then all of a sudden, so-called Judge Emmett Sullivan decided to become also the prosecutor. Prior to General Flynn's case, judges did not become prosecutors. Prior to, I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but not at a level of this importance. Prior to General Flynn, when the Department of Justice said, we've found new evidence, this person is innocent of these charges, we want to drop the charges, a court said, okay, the charges are dropped. We remember the Ukraine fraud. We remember the peaceful riots fraud. We remember and we live with to this day, it's safe to be in a strip club, but unsafe to be in a church. Remember all the frauds. Those are frauds. They are lies. Frauds, an attempt to shift the election or drive power into the hands of technocrats. We're living right now under the rule of technocrats, unelected technocrats in this country, under their rule. So getting to vote fraud through this path, follow me, please. Please follow me. Tony Fauci knows that the tests that the media, and particularly the members of the Mockingbird media, continue to tell us, a grim statistic today, third day in a row, 100,000 positive tests, means that you can't go see your grandma. The tests are fraud. Purposeful fraud. They have to be purposeful fraud. Let me explain. Start at the top. CDC is accepting 40 cycle PCR tests. Here's what this means. When you do 25 cycles of a test on a virus or the DNA, you know, fluid from someone's body looking for viral DNA, you do 25 cycles of amplification, 70% of the positives are not positives. They cannot be cultured. They're not live virus. At 35 cycles, 97% of the test results are non-clinical. You can't use them to culture a virus. The U.S. is running 40 cycles, which is 32 times the amplification from 35. The positives you're hearing about are fraud. Tony Fauci knows this is fraud. The people involved in the testing know this is fraud. Doing a COVID test on a person who has died with this level of amplification tells you nothing. That's fraud. Everybody knows that's fraud. Here's how it's purposeful. Tomorrow, Tony Fauci could say, we're going to go back to actual science and do 20-cycle PCR tests. But he won't. Because all the fraud goes in one direction. Lockdown. All the fraud benefits one party. Technocrats who want to control everything. Who want the Great Reset. Technocrats who are not elected. As the capper to 4 years, where the bureaucratic cousin of the technocrat, the statist, has been trying to undo an election. Andrew McCabe's not a technocrat. He's a bureaucrat. Jimmy Comey's a bureaucrat. Jimmy Clapper's a bureaucrat. Susan Rice is a bureaucrat. Dr. Fauci is a technocrat. All of their lies and fraud are aimed at you. Controlling you. They didn't like the way you voted. Donald Trump was not to win. He may be the first wild card presidential candidate since Ross Perot in our lifetime. The first one to win in our lifetime as a wild card. So all their fraud was aimed at you. The COVID flu doesn't control criminals. They're free. It doesn't control porn. What are you talking about, Herman? Gavin Newsom has waived the so-called entertainment industry employees from the rules of his lockdown. So you're making porn? Go on. Enjoy. You're making movies? Go on. You work in the industry? Go have dinner with your friends. Have as many people over as you'd like. But you, working people, working class, middle class people, no, it controls you. So what does the vote fraud control? Let's go back and repeat the pattern. Fauci knows lockdowns don't work. He knows masks don't work. He knows the 40-cycle PCR tests are a lie and fraud. He knows that assuming people who died with COVID-like illnesses, assuming, not testing, is not scientific. He knows the flu didn't disappear. You think the flu just stopped happening? Fauci knows these things. Fauci knows we're paying hospitals to come up with COVID cases. Fauci knows a lot of the people in the hospital right now are in there because they didn't go in the beginning of the year. They have become sicker. Their immune systems are tortured. Fauci knows this is flu season. He knows this is respiratory virus season. He knows everybody in medicine knows that the winter you see these happenings. Everybody knows this. There are people who work in the medical field who are good people. They're dear people, and they work in a bubble. I had a discussion last week with some people who work in news media, and their bubble is so profound that they didn't know what the Great Barrington Declaration is. They didn't know, had never, ever heard of the Great Barrington Declaration, ever. Because they work in news programming. There are people who work in medicine who don't know the PCR fraud. They are unaware. And they're good people. But at the top, they know. How does this compare to vote fraud? I will nail this down to the floor. in about 60 seconds after we do a quick glance at traffic. Hey, we're running to best of some of the things that Alex has picked out that he thinks is the best of the show. I hope that you're having a truly blessed Thanksgiving with a whole bunch of people in your house and people coming and going. And I think you know what I'm saying. Great friend of the show this morning tweeted me a link to the full HBO documentary, Hacking Democracy. I've seen it on social media. I hadn't yet taken the time to watch it. I haven't watched the whole thing, but this drew my attention. Please go back and think about what we just talked about, a year of fraud, a year of lies. Please remember the CDC knows the PCR counts are fraud. Tony Fauci knows those are fraud. He knows it's creating a massive overcount of cases. He knows that cases used to mean people are sick. He knows that's not the case. Everybody knows this. They all know that the survivability of this virus, even when you get it now, is approaching 99% survivability, 99.9% survivability. It's approaching that. This is HBO's documentary, Hacking Democracy, from, they looked at the Al Gore elections. The Al Gore election versus George W. Bush. Even back then, liberal media, Mockingbird media, was concerned with voting machine accuracy.
America, the world's greatest democracy, and at its heart, the vote, the will of the people. But how do you know if the vote is counted correctly? And if you don't know, then what have you got? Democracy? This is the story of a small group of citizens headed by a grandmother from Seattle. They set out on a journey to ask one simple question. How does America count its votes? What they found was secrecy, votes in the trash, and how to change the course of history.
If, when people see what's really going on, there is no way we will allow this.
Okay. That was the Al Gore election. Second clip from this. As you reflect back, remember what I've talked about, pre-COVID science, legitimate, observable, testable, falsifiable, learned over 100 years, masks didn't work with the Spanish flu. Quarantines didn't work with the Spanish flu. Fauci knows they don't work. The CDC knows they don't work. The WHO knows they don't work. All the way up to the Russia fraud, the lies. Everybody knew it was lies. We still to this day know it was lies. We don't know if anyone's been punished for lying to the nation's courts. And flashing past a lot of frauds, we get to the CDC fraud that they know that PCR testing is a fraud. They know it's creating fraudulent cases. After the Al Gore election, there was good reason to believe that the voting machines were creating fraudulent reports. Perhaps Republicans use this. Maybe that's why they don't want a deep dive. Maybe they don't want it discovered that, oh, yeah, well, we've been going back and forth with cyber warfare on how to hack elections. And maybe the Democrats this time overplayed their hand. Maybe that's why there's a lot of Republicans like Chris Christie saying, don't look over there.
As dusk fell on election night, one official noticed something very strange, a sign that the heart of America's democracy was in danger. In Volusia County, Florida, an election computer counted Al Gore's totals backwards. He had negative votes.
We're showing a minus sign in front of the votes that it had subtracted from Gore. I mean, it wasn't like it was trying to hide it. It says there's minus 16,022 votes here.
Back in the day, HBO knows they created this documentary. NBC knows that in 2019, they talked about how easy it is to hack a Dominion machine.
This is a very paranoid scene here, Allie. We're among some of the greatest hacking minds in the country, people who've been brought together by, above board companies to try to be as creative as they can and as insidious as they can in attacking systems like you see behind me. These are some of the most common systems used as of 2018 in elections. And so they're here to really test this stuff out.
And some of the things they found out. Want to know how to hack a machine? Sometimes you need physical access, and all you need is a USB. But we've learned that the voting machines are online, connected to the internet when they lied. Said, no, there's airspace. There's no connection to the internet.
The machine we're in front of is a central count scanner. It's the ESNS Model 650. It's, to our knowledge, the most widely deployed central count scanner in America. Anytime you do early voting or provisional voting, or anytime you're in a state where they do central tabulation of all the ballots, so they bring them to one place, this is the kind of high-speed scanner they would use to count ballots. Historically, these machines were examined, and they determined there was a number of serious problems with them by virtue of messing with the zip disk. Just turn it on for 3 minutes and stick a disc in, wait 1 minute, and then walk away. You're able to change the behavior of the machine any way you want, including changing the results of an election.
Got it? They knew. They were questioning it then. They were demonstrating that it was hackable then. Now, everything's changed. Now your tinfoil hat-wearing Looney Tunes Trumpette or Trump idiot or COVID idiot. Patterns. They're right here in front of us. Woody Jenkins is the editor of the Central City News, centralcitynews.us. I take it to be a small paper in, as I understand, Louisiana. But Woody Jenkins isn't a small mind. Woody Jenkins has done what our friend Justin Hart has done. Justin has looked into the direct feed that the New York Times had, apparently from Dominion Software. Justin has uncovered these hockey stick events where all of a sudden Joe Biden got a dump of votes. It's happened multiple times. Justin has the proof. Woody went deeper. This can be technical, so I'm going to explain it this way. If you woke up this morning and there was, say, a foot of snow where you live, and you went outside and you saw in front yards every third house there was a snowman, and the snowman looked exactly alike, and the snowman had the exact same features. The nose was this, and the eyes were that, the exact same height. Every third house, all around your neighborhood. You drove around the neighborhood, they're everywhere, every third house. Would you say, oh, I guess some kids built some snowmen? Maybe. Here's what you wouldn't say. Wow. When the snow fell from the sky, it formed itself in the shape of snowmen. What Woody Jenkins uncovered in the feed of data around the votes in Pennsylvania and Georgia is exactly the same thing. In the mass of randomized votes pouring in from this precinct and that precinct, supposedly representing this or that person, in Georgia, there were multiple instances where vote dumps in 1,200s started coming in, factors of 1,200. Hey, here's 1,200 votes for Biden. Hey, here's 1,200 votes for Biden. Hey, here's 2,400 votes for Biden. Hey, here's 3,600 votes for Biden. Hey, here's 4,800 votes for Biden. And they served the purpose. Like building a snowman, they built a lead for Joe Biden. This happened at night, like our snowman example. When people weren't watching, like our snowman example. Like our snowman example, people woke up to see that, what? Biden won Georgia? The same thing happened in the state of Pennsylvania. But this time it was in denominations of, it appeared to be 2,000, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000. Same thing. When the lights went off and they said they were going to stop counting, all of a sudden, these purposeful, I say purposeful because they achieved the purpose, dumps of votes started pouring in perfect numbers. 4,000, 2,000, 6,000, but all for Biden, and they built a snowman. At night, with no one watching, a snowman called, so-called, President-elect Biden. The same mockingbird media that told us these machines were hackable and insecure are telling us, don't look at the fraud. The same mockingbird media who refuses to report the fraud of the CDC's PCR cycle fraud refuses to report on this instance and explain it. But some rodeo clown on a radio show in Seattle can explain it with snowmen. That's why I'm comfortable saying, until I see someone explain to me how this happened happenstantially, I consider Georgia and Pennsylvania to be stolen. Until I see a rational explanation for factorial progressions of numbers that don't happen in raw data. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Are these lies global? You know, folks who've listened to my coverage of the COVID flu across the globe, obviously I talk mostly in the United States, know that I believe that this is a tale of independent data analysts literally rescuing us from either incompetence or something worse than incompetence in relation to how this is being treated in our societies. Absolutely thrilled to welcome Ivor Cummins, who is joining us from Dublin, Ireland. He is Fat Emperor on Twitter, a technical manager, team leader, biochemical engineer, complex problem solving specialist, technologist. In other words, 1,000 times smarter than me, also with a cool accent. Ivor, welcome to the Todd Herman Show in the States.
Hey, thanks a lot, Todd. Thanks for the nice intro.
Oh, such a pleasure to chat with you. I'm so thankful for your work that you've done. And I wanted to start, Ivor, I saw one of your videos you did recently. Compared some of the projections that were made in Ireland onto what your country was going to go through if there was no lockdown. And you did a really tidy comparison of how all these projections turned out. I wonder if my audience will recognize any of these comparisons. So can we talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
I go straight ahead, will I?
Yep, go straight ahead.
Okie doke. So yeah, in Ireland we have a lot of the medical profession, government bureaucrats and all, really pushing the British Imperial College March paper that was not even peer reviewed. It was just a little document. And that's what threw the world into turmoil. So they predicted for Ireland around 28,000 deaths, which in a country of 4.5 million is a lot. And up to even recently, we had professors of immunology saying if we had not locked down, we would have had 28,000 deaths. But the thing was, it was clear by around April that was a ridiculous figure. So they were still quoting it in July in Ireland, and the actual was 1,700, and the revised figure is more like 1,100 when they got the math correct. So it was out by a factor of 15. But the terrible thing was they were still on the media. We have wall-to-wall media still talking about those kinds of figures if we had not locked down. And it's just absurd. It's crazy. So Sweden as well, they predicted huge figures. Sweden came in around 12 times lower. And Sweden did not lock down. And I have a video from CNN. I can send you the link. CNN team went to Sweden in May at the height of their epidemic. And it was just complete normality practically in Stockholm, in their main city. And basically people were getting their hair cut, there were no masks, bars were open, cafes. They were doing hygiene and distancing and trying to protect the elderly and work from home or stay at home if you have symptoms. But it was nothing like we did. And they've ended up performing the same as Ireland and England. And they basically proved that lockdown does almost nothing.
So what you just told is remarkable, because just this morning a review came out of the data in the United States, off by perhaps even more, off by 20 times their estimate of how hospitals would be overrun and how many deaths. And this was done by the University of Washington's IHME, which is supposed to specialize in things like this, but they also specialize in political communication, that bureaucrats should take over all health care, that masks work, and we can get into that. that. Ivor Cummins is with us. He's Fat Emperor on Twitter. If you want to see his Twitter account, or better yet, I'm going to send you to this video that he's done about the rolling seven-day average and how we hit this 20% point of people infected and the virus seems to slow down. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll learn so much from Ivor on this virus. So Ivor, over here in the States, we had the same experience. And yet we're told to trust these people now when they're telling us there's going to be a second wave. Have you had this same, you know, scare signal in Ireland that there's a second wave coming to kill us all?
Oh, yeah. And I was cheeky and I put out some tweets and I said the second wave wing nuts. But essentially, yes. So what happened really was they did these predictions, Imperial College London and IHME and a few more. But you got to, in root cause, go back and find out what drives them. And they are funded by the same foundations. So again, I won't get into that side of it, but there are connections. But anyway, they did dreadful predictions that the assumptions were completely incorrect. They used a exponential rise. They assumed everyone was non-immune, and they were incorrect. We have T-cell immunity, and we have cross-immunity from prior coronaviruses, of which there are many. And all their assumptions were incorrect. So they came out with the 12 times too high figure. But the problem was, the organizations coming out with these ridiculous figures, they were all doing the same thing worldwide. So the whole world went down. And that was the real killer. And then when they began to realize they were completely incorrect, that's so enormously embarrassing. And the catastrophe on the economy and on delayed cancer diagnoses and job losses and all the rest was so catastrophic. I think they realized we can never admit this. And then they doubled down. So they continued lockdowns, continued, brought in new measures. And I think that's so you can claim afterwards, well, yeah, it stayed much lower because of all the stuff we did. But it's not true, and Sweden proves it beautifully, and some other countries. And the second wave is being used to maintain what I just said, more measures, continued measures, so that when there is no second wave of note, except for the normal seasonal rise in the winter, you know, which will occur, and they will find coronavirus because they will be prevalent in the coming winter, and they're going to attribute a lot of old people's deaths to it. But when it's not that bad, they'll be able to say, well, yeah, that's because we kept all the measures and the masks going. That's why it's not so bad. So it's like the old story with the tiger. You know, someone says we have a tiger horn that keeps away the tigers and they blow it. And 6 months later, a little boy says, but there's no tigers. And the answer is, yeah, that's because of the horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ivor Cummins is with us. He's also at thefatemperor.com. If you want to watch this video, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. It's so fascinating across, you know, from the States to Ireland that we're hearing so many of the same responses. I would tell you this, and this gets into a realm of speculation, and being that you're a biochemical engineer and a technologist, I love that you stay rooted in facts. This is something that we've seen over here. We have the state of Arizona's top public health official admitting there's never been a case of someone catching the COVID flu in a fitness facility, and yet fitness facilities stay closed. The city of I think it's Philadelphia. And I'm forgetting my notes from this morning. But we have a city in the United States that has admitted. No, pardon me. It's Nashville. The news media has uncovered emails, Ivor, between public health officials and elected officials where they conspire to hide low COVID transmission in restaurants and bars. It's in writing where they're saying we can't tell people that these transmissions are low. They're keeping these establishments closed. So I hear you saying that these officials got embarrassed, and I think that's probably true. But we're also watching now that we're seeing efforts to hide these data. That's very disconcerting to me. And here's where I wanted to bridge into a question for you. Yesterday in the States on Twitter, and I know you were very active on Twitter, an excellent audit, the World Health Organization and the CDC were telling us that herd immunity is dangerous, that it's a theory, that it's not preferred here. Ivor, this is great. I want to ask you to just hold on real quick. It's going to be 60 seconds. We'll check traffic. Come right back with Ivor Cummins. This is the best of the Todd Herman Show. Alex decided this is what he thinks is the best of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
The lies, like, this is what I wanted to ask about this question, is you have the World Health Organization. Oh, it's herd immunity is dangerous. In fact, over in the States, there's been articles running where they're pretending masks, which you and I both know are 100% useless. And anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. And we both know that in terms of stopping influenza. They're even pretending that masks give people herd immunity. I mean, they know herd immunity exists. They know about T cells. In fact, the data, as you've shown, country after country, the virus rises to what level, what percentage of the population before it begins to slow down?
Oh, yeah, it rises basically rough and tough. Nominally, around 80% of people will never really catch it or get symptoms or have a problem. And I interviewed Professor Beda Stadler, who's the Fauci of Europe in Switzerland. He's an emeritus professor of immunology. And he worked this out months ago. And you're absolutely correct. All these studies are coming out now about T-cell and cross-immunity. And in fact, today in the British Medical Journal, there was published a paper pulling them all together, and it's very exciting. But around 80% of people, and we see this in the tracking, when you track index cases of symptomatic people, even mixing with people in buildings and at home, you only see around 1 in 5 or less actually catch it. And that speaks to the same thing, that their assumption was 100% of us are naive or are completely have no immune protection. And the reality is around 20% maybe have no real immune protection. But even those 20%, most of them will have very little effect. And that's why we only have a tiny percentage, around 0.05% or 500 people in a million will actually die. So in Sweden, they're finished now until next winter season, and they have 0.056 mortality, mostly aged. So it was never as they thought it was. And now I agree, they're kind of suppressing all of this awkward information to maintain the narrative. And it's understandable, and all human leadership organizational structures tend to do this. If something very embarrassing turns up, you tend to manage it so it doesn't cause a negative impact to you. So I think all the governments are trapped now. You know, they can't simply share all the data and be open and transparent because people are going to get really angry. So they're almost forced to keep this thing going, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's super frustrating because I watch, and I know that you are probably aware of Ethical Skeptic on Twitter, a data analyst and a colleague of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had Ethical Skeptic on for his first ever radio interview as Ethical Skeptic. So he has done an analysis that shows that the COVID flu will, well, actually, let me say it this way. The lockdown measures are going to end up taking 2, maybe 3, maybe even 4 times the life years away from human beings than did the flu. And so I hear you saying there's these mistakes and people want to cover these mistakes. And then I have to really wonder about the morality of people who would say we've made a tremendous mistake, but keep the economies locked down, even though they have to have the same internal numbers. They have smart people who work for them. They have real data people who are saying, you know, we're costing life years here. Or do you think that they are willfully blind for that or willfully ignorant? Or, I mean, how do I get in the head of someone, say, in the United States, like our governor in the state where I'm at, Jay Inslee? How do I get in the head of a Jay Inslee saying, no, keep it locked down, even though we're losing more life years because younger people are dying from lockdown measures?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Todd. It's a hellish mixture that's going on at the moment of psychology. So I think there's cognitive dissonance that they literally can't believe themselves that it may have been a complete disaster. So they kind of hide it from themselves subconsciously, and they keep looking towards the data that says lockdowns work, etc. And then there's I think that's a big part, but it's not the whole part. There's also enormous top-down pressure from international organizations that has orchestrated a lot of this. Now, it's not a conspiracy theory because it's kind of pretty open. So the World Health Organization has been very clear in driving the hysteria. It's on the record. They keep releasing videos to say it's not seasonal. It's going to go on forever. You need to wear masks. Fauci even said you maybe need to wear visors and goggles. You know, so they're open with their deceit. And then you have the World Economic Forum, who has published The Great Reset. So they say this is a huge opportunity, Corona is, to implement our strategies and plans for a kind of shake-up and a reset of the world with international tracking and maybe, you know, non-cash money and all the an environmental focus and business coming together. So they're funded by around, I don't know, 20, 30 corporations. So I could go on. Even the UN and the EU has a strategy published a couple of years ago with a five-year plan for mass vaccination and for vaccination passports to enable travel. So all of these huge organizations, it's not really a secret conspiracy with an evil, you know, guy with a cat. It's actually kind of all there. There are goals of huge organizations that are advising all the governments, and their goals are beautifully met by having Corona exaggerated. It's just kind of business. And the problem is the governments and the governors you mentioned, well, what do they know about virology and immunology and epidemiology and, you know, complex mathematical modeling? Well, the answer is zero. So if they're being fed, you know, the plan, the safe option is to roll with the plan. And it's a very dangerous option to book the plan and show leadership. That's really risky, especially if you don't understand any of this stuff. So I think in there, in my ramble, it kind of covers a lot of the dynamics driving this. And it's incredible to watch, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's horrifying to watch. And I wanted to close off with you, Ivar, because you're in Dublin and we're across the sea from one another. I love this aspect of technology. I wanted to check in with you and the Irish people and your country and your fellow neighbors. What's the mood over there in relation to COVID? And do people feel they've been misled? And is there pushback? What's going on in Ireland?
Whoa, that's been fascinating to watch as well, Todd. So like many countries, the people are sadly like mushrooms. They have been fed a fire hose torrent of media talking catastrophe now for months. And shockingly, they mostly believe it. They believe in worries of second waves. They believe in all the fear mongering. They believe in the masks. They largely believe in it. Now, there is a minority that's breaking free. You know, there are certain doctors and media people who are beginning to kind of out this, but it's small. Now, myself and an Irish doctor got together and wrote a 13-page document, which we circulated to the government, the officials, the bureaucrats running this system. And it had a mark. It's been clear in the media there's some dissent coming up and questioning. So I think we just need more people to show leadership, to pull the data off Ethical Skeptic, of myself, of all the people. Professor Carl Hennigan in England. There's Dr. Professor John Lee. There's so many leaders in science and medicine who are trying to fix this. So people really need to just get behind them and share and share and share, to try and break through this kind of psychosis, I think it is.
Oh, I think that's a word I've used often, Ivar. It is. It's a mass hysteria. And we've seen, you know, I don't know, engineering like you do, I've studied this. I read 32 hours a week about it. But I know media, and I know media really, really well. And where I got super suspicious was, first of all, seeing politicians pick winners and losers. Some industries stay open. Some say closed. Wow, it looks like it's all their big donors, their cronies are getting to operate. It's safe to go into a large multinational corporation to buy things, but not a small business. Then when I saw the media go from deaths
to all of a sudden, Ivor, it became cases, cases, cases. And I'm not, you know, a technical person like you, but I know cases don't mean anything because a case is a generic phrase. So we've seen the same thing over here. Man, it's a pleasure to chat with you. Again, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. I'll send you Ivor's video. He's Fat Emperor, thefatemperor.com. And let's stay in touch, Ivor. It's just a blessing. Thank you for your work in enlightening people.